this week's Sedra, the Mitzvah Bikurim, is mentioned. Bikurim, like a lot of other things in the Torah, deal with the Reishis, the first, the beginnings, that have to be given to the Kohen, or Mukdash Lashem, or redeemed, Pidyon HaBen, from the Bechor, Bechoros of an animal have to be brought as a korban, Reishis Hagez, the first shearings of the wool, Reishis Arusosechem, Chala is the Reishis of the dough, Truma is the Reishis of the Tvua, and so on. Right? The Torah wants the first. The first should somehow be Mukdash Lashem. So one of the questions that the Svarim ask is, why the first? I'm a Bechor, I have no trouble believing that the first is the best. But not everybody agrees with that. Right? And maybe it's not in every case true. So why does the Torah want the first? Why doesn't it want the best? Why doesn't the Torah say, look, take a few samples, first fruits, second fruits, third fruits, bring me the best one. Why dafka the first? And there are many answers to that question. But one I want to give you tonight that has to do also with the whole inyan of Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva and a difficult halacha there. The first isn't just the first. And again, it's not necessarily the best. But it's the root and the foundation, the shoresh and the yesod of everything that comes after it. It sets the pattern for things that come after it. And therefore, it's very important that the shoresh and the yesod be as perfect as they can be. Because that's the way it is in nature too. If there's any blemish in a root, if there's a blemish in the DNA, then what it comes out later on is 1,000 times what it is in that cell. But on the other hand, the same kind of blemish in a cell in the plant is not going to make such a big difference. But if it's in the root, since everything comes from that root, so the smallest thing is multiplied 1,000 times when it comes out in the plant. So the root has to be as perfect as possible. Same thing goes with a foundation. When you build a foundation for a home, or for anything that matter, if you have even the smallest crack in the foundation, it could endanger the whole building, because the whole building stands on that foundation. On the other hand, a crack like that in the third or fourth floor is not going to make that much of a difference. But in the foundation, it makes a tremendous difference. So when you're dealing with the reishis, with the foundation and the root, you have to make it as kodesh as possible, as whatever could be. And then what will come later will be at least kodesh. If this is kodesh kadosh, the next one, this one you give to the Kohen, the next one you'll eat, but you'll eat at least with some kind of kedusha. Because you set the pattern for this fruit with the first thing. And the first thing set the pattern, the foundation, the root, for everything that comes afterwards. You see this idea in a few different places. One is on the positive side, by Reb Chiya. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that Reb Chiya said that if the Torah would ever be forgotten in Klal Yisrael, some learned that the Torah Taka was forgotten in Reb Chiya's time, then he has a program how to make sure the Torah would be brought back, how to be machadish the Torah again amongst Klal Yisrael. And he described his program in the following way. He would go and plant flax, linen, and when it grew he'd make it into ropes, and the ropes he would make into nets, and the nets he would use to capture deer, and the deer he would shecht, he'd give the meat to aniyim, and the skins he would make into parchment. On the parchment he would write Chamisha Chumshe Torah, and he would go from city to city teaching 5 youngsters, each one a different Chumash, and then he would tell them to teach the other ones what they learned. So the one who learned Bereishis would teach the other 4 Bereishis, the one who learned Shmos would teach the other 4 Shmos, and so on. And then he would teach 6 boys, each one a Seder of Mishnah, and he would tell each one to teach the other ones what he learned, and in that way the Torah would be remembered. So the Marsha there and other Achronim ask, Lechora, I understand that in the time of Reb Chiya there aren't any Chumashim for sale. Torah has been forgotten. There aren't no bookstores. So he has to write the Chamisha Chumshe Torah. But nobody's selling parchment. Nobody's selling nets. He has to go plant the nets, the flax. Why? Go in the store, Right? Go to Home Center, buy what's it called, a net, go buy somewhere, buy parchment, and write the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Why do you have to plant the flax and make the nets? And basically what many say, the same idea, that since we are creating a new beginning, a foundation, a root for Torah in the future, everything has to be Lishma. From the time of planting the flax on which you're going to catch the deer to write the Chamisha Chumshei Torah has to be Kula L'Shem Shemayim. We're talking about creating a foundation, a root of Torah for the future. Starting again, the foundation has to be 100% Kodesh V'Tor. The opposite we find also. It says that, our Gemara says in Kedushin, why did Elisha ben Avuya become Achim? What happened to him that he became a mummer? He became a person who went off the derech. So our Gemara says that he saw various maisim that shattered his emunah, and he couldn't believe anymore. One, the Gemara says, he saw a person tell his son to go up on a ladder, bring him some bird's eggs, and the son went up the ladder, listened to his father, sent away the mother bird, was mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, came down, and as he was coming down the ladder, he fell off and was killed. So Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya said, it can't be. The Torah promises long life for both of these mitzvahs, Shiluach HaKein and Kibud Av V'Em. Where's this kid's long life? He died doing these mitzvahs. Less din v'less da. I can't believe anymore. And he went off the derech. Yerushalmi says something else. Yerushalmi says that Elisha ben Avuya's problem started on the day of his bris. His father was a big usher in Yerushalayim, and he made a big bris for his son Elisha. And the Ashira Yerushalayim came to the bris, and all the Talmidei Chachamim. So the Ashirim were eating and drinking and dancing and singing, and the Talmidei Chachamim said, look, they're enjoying the bris their way, let's enjoy it our way. So they started learning. And they went from Torah to Nevi'im and Nevi'im to Ksuvim, until the learning was so intense. Hoyu advarim smeichim k'nisinosim misinai, and a fire came down in Hashamayim and surrounded them, the fire of Sinai. So Avuya came over to him and said, what are you trying to burn my house down? What's going on over here? So he said, no, this isn't a physical fire, it's a spiritual fire. We were learning so intensely that the fire came down in Hashamayim from Har Sinai. So he said, wow, that's the power of people learn Torah. I want my son to learn Torah and be able to bring fire down in Hashamayim. And since Elisha's entire Hakdosha to Torah, his entire foundation of Torah was crooked, was distorted, right? And that, my Rosh Hashiva said, or Gifter Zatzal, we don't say Mitosh Shalol Lishma Balishma. Mitosh Shalol Lishma Balishma is, you're doing the mitzvah for the sake of a mitzvah, but you have ulterior motives. I want covet, I want money, right? That's Mitosh Shalol Lishma Balishma. But if you're doing the mitzvah for a totally distorted reason, the whole foundation is crooked, then you don't say Mitosh Shalol Lishma. There's no Shalol Lishma here. There's no nothing. Torah is not to bring Eish min HaShemayim. Torah is a mitzvah. Okay, it's a mitzvah that I'm doing because I want covet. That's Mitosh Shalol Lishma Balishma. But here I'm learning Torah because Torah brings fire min HaShemayim, and there's no stira between our Gemara and the Yerushalmi. Because Elisha ben Avuya could have started again. He could have taken away what his father was makdishim. But he didn't. He learned Torah with that in mind the whole time. That was his goal. To be the power to bring Eish min HaShemayim. To use the Torah in this world for his power. And therefore when he saw that the Torah doesn't help in this world, it promises long life, you don't get long life. So he came to the conclusion of less din, less dying. If he didn't have a crooked look at the world, he would have seen something different there, as his nephew, Rabbi Yaakov, saw. Rabbi Yaakov saw the same Maisa, and he came to another conclusion, that Schar Mitzvah, Bahayal Malekah, that the Schar of Arichas Yomim is not in this world, it's in the next world. Yom Shekulo Aruch, Yom Shekulo Tov. But Elisha Navuya, his whole foundation was against that. His whole foundation was, Torah is to be able to bring fire, Min HaShemayim. So if it doesn't have a benefit, what kind of Torah is that? It can't be for the next world, it wants in this world. So you see that if the foundation is crooked, then Rahman Litzlan, terrible things come from that. And if the foundation is Kula Lishma, then it's fine. They ask by Matan Torah. I just learned it now in Amid Yomi, and noticed that one of the Mefarshim says this idea. What was the thing? that I remember now. Moshe Rabbeinu made a kal v'chomer that if what's it called, if Korban Pesach is only one mitzvah and you're not allowed to give it to a mummer, to a person who is what's it called, is off the derech, so kol haTorah kula is in my hands, Yaseres HaDibros, and Klal Yisrael are a bunch of mumrim, I can't give them the Torah. So he broke the luchos, but he did that on his own, right? Because really Tosus says the kal v'chomer is not a good kal v'chomer, because Korban Pesach, okay, is a korban, it's one mitzvah, but here give them the Torah that they should be able to minishchazik and do tshuva. Don't hold the Torah away from them, right? Enochinami, one mitzvah you don't give them. You don't give them a korban if they're what's it called, if they're mumrim. But here you have the whole Torah. Give them the Torah and be maksa them b'tshuva. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu think differently? Because he said, fine, that's if the whole Torah was being denied to them at some future point. But this was the foundation of Torah for all generations. To give it them, to, when they're mumrim, is then the whole foundation of Torah is going to be a distorted foundation. Same idea. They say the same thing by Chanukah. The halach is tumah hutra b'tzibur. When most of the tzibur is tamei, you're allowed to use tamei oil. Why do they need dafka tohar oil? The Sforim say because when you're starting and being mechanech, the what's it called, the menorah anew, you're not just doing it every day and continuing. You want to start, a new yisod. It has to be kulot tohar. Then you don't rely on tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah hutra b'tzibur is if you're lighting the menorah and you're continuing, it is fine. But a Chanukah samenorah, to start anew, you need a strong foundation. You need a foundation that doesn't have any blemishes in it. That's why the chinuch of little children is so important. It says that the world exists on the hevel piyam shel tinokos shel beis rabbi. Tinokos shel beis rabbi, little kids. And the Maral says the reason that chinuch is so important because that's the yisod kol haTorah. That's the foundation of this child's Torah for all time. If this foundation isn't Kodesh V'Tahar, then what can you build on such a foundation? We're talking about learning later, it doesn't have to be so Kodesh V'Tahar. But to set the foundation, to set the root, a different story. Okay. That's the case with all of this. That's the idea of the Reishis, why the Torah wants the Reishis to be Kodesh V'Tahar, to be Kodesh Kadoshim. So to set the pattern for everything that comes after it, you can understand the halach in Shulchan Aruch that has to do with Aseres Tshuva. Shulchan Aruch says that even somebody who is noheg to be mekel and eat pas palter a whole year, but Aseres Tshuva shouldn't eat pas palter. What's pas palter? Pas palter is kosher cookies or bread that there's a mashgiach who stands there and watches that only the most mahadran ingredients go into the cookies. But it's baked by a goy, a baker, a commercial baker. If your neighbor, the goy, bakes you a challah or cookies, right? Even if you're standing over and watching every ingredient, you buy all new pots, put into a new oven, it's treif. That's called pas akum. Pas akum is usher to eat. But pas palter, where the goy is not a stammen individual, he's doing it commercially to sell the things, then the chachamim said pas palter is mutter with certain conditions. That if you can't get bread or cookies that are of the same quality, or the same price, this is cheaper, this is better, right? Then you're allowed to eat pas palter. But it's not mahadran. It's okay. But the evet. It's not lechatchil, it's not mahadran. But it's okay to do. So somebody who's somich on that, he eats Sara Lee cakes in America. They still have that? Or what's it called? Drake's cakes. Or what's it called? Stella Doro cookies, right? All of that is pas palter. It's mutter, it has an OU, it's kosher, but it's not pas Israel, it's not pas baked by a Jew. So if you eat that the whole year, you eat Drake's cakes the whole year, but not Aseres Tshuva. Aseres Tshuva says b'theirish, you should be machmir and not eat Drake's cakes. Now I understand that halacha if it means that the guy's going to say, look, every year till now I've eaten Drake's cakes, I know it's not really Mahadrin Lechadchila, but you know, this year I'm going to try it out, Aseres Tshuva. Maybe I'll be able to live on Itzkowitz's cakes and not on Drake's cakes. I'll try it. Right? Maybe I can wean myself away and not have to eat. I'll try it. If it works, it works. Doesn't work, no, I'll go back to eating Drake's cake. I understand that. But it's not talking about that. It's talking where the person has absolutely no intention of stopping to eat Drake's cakes the rest of the year. He already put an order in for Drake's cakes to break his fast Motzei Yom Kippur. Only Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Motzei Yom Kippur already is not Aseres Yemei Teshuva anymore. Right? I have my order in for my Drake's cakes. My mouth is watering, right? Thinking about it, the whole Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the Drake's cakes I'm going to eat Motzei Yom Kippur. But Aseres Yemei Teshuva, I'm going to be extra frum. I'm not going to eat Drake's cakes. I'm only going to eat Itzkowitz's cakes. Nope. That's like a hypocrite. Who are you trying to fool? It's like telling the Rabbanu Shalom, you know, this is Aseres Yemei Teshuva. You have to judge me now before Yom Kippur. I'm a real frum guy. I don't eat Drake's cakes. Right? So you better give me a good din. And then the Rabbanu Shalom gives you a good din in Yom Kippur. And Moshe Yom Kippur said, ha, I fooled you. I still eat Drake's cake, but tough luck. The Mishpat's over, right? So I got my good Mishpat, and now I'm going back to eating Drake's cakes. I'll see you next year, and then we'll try again to fool you. What's it mean? Sounds like it's a game. Now, based on what we said, it's not a game at all. Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur is called Reishis Hashanah. Reishis Hashanah. Just like there's a Reishis Bikurim, Reishis called Pri Ha'adamah, there's Reishis Haruso Seichem, there's a Reishis Hashanah in time also. There's a foundation and root for the whole year. That's called Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And you set the foundation and the root for the year during those 10 days. Would you consider a person a hypocrite who used A1, class 1, class A building materials to lay the foundation of his building, but in the floors that he built above, he doesn't use A1 cement, he uses class B cement. Is that a guy a hypocrite? No. Because for the foundation, you need class A cement, because the whole building stands on that foundation. For floor 1 and 2, it's good. You can get by with class B cement, but you can't get by with class B cement in the foundation. When you're creating the root and the foundation of the year, there it has to be the best that it can be. So somebody who davens extra, or gives more tzedakah, or is more careful in learning during Aseres Yemei Teshuva is not a hypocrite. He's not playing a game. He's not trying to fool the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He's now building the foundation and the root for his whole next year. So it's not a wonder that he should use better materials to build the foundation than he may be able to do the rest of the year. So there's an inyan to be machmer in what you eat, and be machmer in what you daven, and be machmer in what you give tzedakah. It's not fooling anybody. You're not doing it to put something over on the Rabbanu Shel Olam. You're doing it to create the foundation and the root for your coming year. Like we said, the foundation and the root has to be Kodesh Kadoshim, even if the rest of the year can't be Kodesh Kadoshim. Try as hard as you can. But the main part to put the effort in is in the beginning. Tov, what's it called? Achris Dover. Meirei Shiso. You know when the end will be good? Meirei Shiso, if the beginning was good. When you have a good beginning, you have a good ratio, you have a good foundation, then the end will also be good because it will be built on something strong. But if the beginning is weak, how much stronger could the building be than the weak foundation? Even if the building is perfect, it's going to be on a weak foundation to fall in. So therefore now, as we get closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah and to Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the purpose of Elul is to prepare for that. To get into the swing of preparing the foundation for the coming year to be the strongest foundation could be. And don't think that you're being a faker or a hypocrite, right? Adarav, this is the time to be on your best, everything. Even though you know that you won't be able to keep that up the rest of the year. Halavai, you should. But even if you know you won't be able to, it's still kedai to put in all the effort between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to be the best you can be. The way that you would really like to be if you could keep it up the whole year. And that way you've created a foundation and a root for the coming year that definitely will benefit. No matter what the rest of the year is, it'll benefit from those 10 days, that root and that foundation that you created. And in Hashem, we should be able to create the strongest foundations and the strongest roots for all of us. And then in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be able to continue on that foundation, that root for the rest of the year, and then we'll be zocha, all of us, for definitely a good din of chayim and brocha and shalom and ruchnius and gashmius and everything for ourselves, our families, for all of Klal Yisrael.